Happy Thanksgiving to all of you. My Bible won't stay open on the page because it's kind of at the skinny part. We're continuing our journey through the life of Moses. So if you'd like to turn right now to chapter 3 and chapter 4 in the book of Exodus, you can do that. In the Bible, as I was growing up, I heard a lot of Bible stories when I was growing up. I don't know how many of you have grown up in the church, but if you have, you probably heard the same stories over and over and over again a lot of the time. And I would hear stories about Moses and Abraham and Isaac. I would hear stories about Samuel and Esther and all these different people. And I always felt like the overwhelming theme was, you need to be like them because they were great. They were awesome. And I felt so much pressure. I was like, I can't be like them. Look at that. Moses, he parted the Red Sea. What? I can't do that. Samuel, he prophesied over David. I don't know. I could never do that. Esther, she got her people set free. Like, how amazing is she? I could never be like her. I would see all the amazing things they did. They were heroes. And I honestly felt like I could never be like them. Even though I knew God wanted me to serve in a church right from young, I had a very limited idea of what that could look like. In my mind, I couldn't be a leader. I was too insecure. I wasn't musical enough. I wasn't man enough. I wasn't strong enough or wise enough or bold enough. I looked at my limitations and my failures and looked at those stories that I thought I knew so well. And I doubted God's choice. Instead of wide-eyed willingness and a joyful acceptance of the direction that God had given to me, he got hesitant, insecure, halted, step forward every time I actually listened to him. I was a scaredy cat. I looked at all the reasons I shouldn't or couldn't or wouldn't be a good fit to serve as a church leader. And as I got older and I really started to read and pay attention to these stories, thank goodness, I started to become more aware of the human condition and just how intensely we need God and how intensely all of these people in the Bible needed God. I started to realize that it was never and is never about who we are. And it is always about who God is. It is never about our abilities, our resources, our talents, or even our gifts. It is about him. And he is limitless. My first year of college, I ran out of money in my first semester. It's kind of a common theme in college. My student loan was only enough to cover the first semester. And so come November, I was terrified. I thought, I totally felt like I was supposed to come to college. I totally felt like God called me here. I have no cash. I'm going to have to go home. I can't believe this. I was terrified. And I was talking to my mom. And my mom quoted a scripture she quoted throughout my childhood. She said to me, "Carolee, God's got this. Your heavenly father owns the cattle on a thousand hills. School tuition is nothing for him." I said to her, "I'm not going to ask anyone for money. I just do not want to do that. If God wants me to be here, he'll make a way." She's like, "Okay, fine. Don't ask anybody." And I went back to my dorm room, and they had a room set aside for praying. And I went in there and I prayed. And I said to God, "God, if you want me here, you're going to work this out because the student loan is done. I don't have any money. And my parents weren't in a position to help me any more than they already had. I said, if you want me here, you've got to take care of this." couple days later, I was talking to my grandma. She had been a minister with the Assemblies of God in the States. And we were chatting. She's like, so how's it going? I'm like, oh, it's going okay. And she's like, so do you need any money? I got really quiet. She just said, how much do you need? And God came through. And grandma too. You see, it's all about God's power, his resources, his wisdom, and his strength. We tend to box God in to our often limited understanding of who we are. Instead of breaking out of our boxes and living in the fullness of who God is. We are continuing our series on Moses, and it might surprise you that a lot of us have more in common with him than you might think. He is a hero, but you need to realize he was a very reluctant hero. We're starting at Exodus 3, verse 7. The Lord said, I have seen how my people are suffering in Egypt. I have heard them cry out because of their slave drivers. I am concerned about their suffering. So I am come down to save them from the Egyptians. I will bring them up out of that land. I will bring them into a good land. It has a lot of room. It is a land that has plenty of milk and honey. The Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and Jebusites live there. And now Israel's cry for help has reached me. I have seen how badly the Egyptians are treating them. So now go. I'm sending you to Pharaoh. I want you to bring the Israelites out of Egypt. They are my people. But Moses spoke to God. Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, he said. Who am I that I should bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Oh, this sounds so familiar. Moses' response is too similar to the response that we often give when we hear God calling us to a purpose. Who, me? You've got to be kidding. You want to use me to do that? That's crazy. God said, this is his response to Moses, I will be with you. I will give you a sign. I will prove that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, all of you will worship me on this mountain. Moses said to God, well, suppose I go to the people of Israel and suppose I say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And suppose they ask me, what is his name? Then what should I tell them? God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord is the God of your fathers. He has sent me to you. He is the God of Abraham. He is the God of Isaac. He is the God of Jacob. My name will always be the Lord. Call me this name for all time to come. Go, gather the elders of Israel together. Say to them, the Lord, the God of your fathers, appeared to me. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God said, I have watched over you. I have seen what the Egyptians have done to you. I have promised to bring you up out of Egypt. You are suffering. I will bring you into the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. It is a land that has plenty of milk and honey. The elders of Israel will listen to you. Then you and the elders must go to the king of Egypt. You must say to him, the Lord has met with us. He is the God of the Hebrews. Let us take a journey that lasts about 3 days. We want to go into the desert to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God. But I know that the king of Egypt will not let you and your people go. Only a mighty hand could make him do that. So I will reach out my hand and I will strike the Egyptians with all the amazing things that I will do. And after that, their king will let you go. I will cause the Egyptians to treat you in a kind way. Then when you leave, you will not go with your hands empty. Every woman should ask her neighbor and any woman living in her house for things made out of silver and gold, and ask them for clothes too. Put them on your children. In that way, you will take the wealth of Egypt along with you. I have a friend who was working. And I think sometimes we're afraid to ask God to help us or to help things to go well for us. She was working a job and it was taking her away from her family. She was having to commute up to 3, sometimes 4 hours a day back and forth to work. It was really stressful for her and was hard. So we began to pray. We thought, well, it needs to be a new job. She needs to get a different job that's closer and it's more convenient and better hours, less commuting. And so we started to pray for a new job. And the interesting thing was God answered, but he answered in a way that just proved he had given her favor in her workplace. Her boss asked her, how would you feel about going down to 1 day a week? 1 day a week you have to come in. You can work the rest of the time from home. So there's no reduction in hours, no reduction in pay, and she has 1 day a week that she has to commute in. God is faithful when we ask. He is faithful when we ask. He's got a plan, and we need to trust him and just ask. It did not matter who Moses was. It didn't matter if the people asked questions or challenged him. God was preparing Moses for the message he would deliver, and he was preparing the people he was going to deliver the message to. You see, this is the reality of this plan that God laid out for Moses. There was no way that a man, Moses, could go in and convince Pharaoh to let these people go, let alone to convince all the Egyptians to give over all their wealth to the slave workforce that was walking out on them. There's no way. This was impossible. God's direction was going to lead Moses into a situation where he was going to cause the elders to listen. He knew Pharaoh wasn't going to listen to Moses at the beginning. He even says that. He says, I know he won't let you go. That is something only a mighty hand will be able to do. And I'm going to stretch out my hand and all the amazing things I'm going to do after that, then he'll let the people go. He even warned Moses, don't worry if he doesn't listen the first time around. I'll take care of it. And not only will Pharaoh let you go, but the people who have been using you, who have kept you enslaved, they will give you whatever you ask for. So ask. Chapter 4 opens up with Moses asking another question. He clearly isn't getting it, that God has got this under control. What if the elders of Israel won't believe me? What if they won't listen to me? And suppose they say, the Lord didn't appear to you, then what should I do? And the Lord said to him, what do you have in your hand? A walking stick, he said. The Lord said, throw it to the ground. So Moses threw it to the ground and it turned into a snake and he ran away from it. The Lord said to Moses, reach out your hand and take the snake by the tail. So he reached out and grabbed the snake and it turned back into a walking stick. The Lord said, when they see this sign, they will believe that I appear to you. I am the Lord, the God of their fathers. I am the God of Abraham. I am the God of Isaac. I am the God of Jacob. Then the Lord said, put your hand inside your cloak. So Moses put his hand inside his coat. And when he took it out, the skin had become white as snow. His hand was covered with skin disease. Now put it back inside. So Moses put his hand back into his coat. And when he took it out again, the skin was healthy. His hand was like the rest of his skin. Then the Lord said, suppose they do not believe you or pay attention to the first sign, then maybe they will believe the second one. But suppose they don't believe either sign, suppose they don't listen, then get some water from the Nile River and pour it onto the dry ground, and the water you take from the river will turn into blood on the ground. God gives him 3 signs, 3 proofs to testify of who he is and who has sent him. to prove that he is indeed sent by God. I find it interesting that God doesn't say, what do you mean if they don't believe you? Of course they will. He says, well, I'll give you these signs, a snake, leprosy, and water, turning to blood. Let's move on. The next question Moses asks in verse 10, Lord, I've never been a good speaker. I haven't gotten any better since you spoke to me. I don't speak very well at all. And the Lord says to him, who makes human beings able to talk? Who makes them unable to hear or speak? Who makes them able to see or who makes them blind? Just in case you haven't figured this out yet, it is I, the Lord. Now go. I will help you speak. I will teach you what to say. My question for us today is, do we trust God? How many times has God given a little electric shock to your heart to do something? To volunteer at the food bank, to go donate blood, to go visit the elderly lady across the street, to help lead the congregation in worship. And what do we say? Oh, they don't need me. I'm no good at that. I can sing, but maybe just in the shower. Give blood. Oh, I think I'm getting a cold. They don't want my dirty blood. Moses is just a person like you and me, called like you and me by a God with limitless power, limitless resources to equip us and prepare us for whatever he is asking us to do. In verse 13, Moses just lays it all on the line. He says, Lord, please send someone else to do it. Then the Lord became angry. He said, what about your brother, Aaron the Levite? I know he can speak well. He is already on his way to meet you. He will be glad to see you. Speak to him. Tell him what to say. I will help both of you speak. I will teach you what to do. He will speak to the people for you. He will be like your mouth, and you will be like God to him. But take this walking stick in your hand. You will be able to do signs with it. It was interesting. I was reading a book by Charles Swindoll about Moses, and he referred to Aaron as an albatross around Moses' neck. He said, it's too bad that Moses put up such a fight to just obeying God, because it would have been interesting to see how much different his ministry would have been if he had just said, yes, God, instead of wanting someone else to step in and take the job that God was giving him. Sometimes we make choices like Moses. We refuse God's best. But the cool thing is, God, in his mercy, will use us anyway, just like he used Moses. He'll use us. He'll use our lives. But sometimes those insecurities and that self-focus lead us to second best. They result in a divided heart and a distracted faith. If you force God to make do with what you give him, you are the one who will miss out on the best he has for you. There's one thing that's reiterated through the lives of all those people I mentioned at the beginning, and that is that God's plan is moving forward. His plan is going to be fulfilled whether we jump in or not. And the fact that he is so awesome to let us be a part of that plan, it just blows me away. And he's so patient, and he's so merciful, and he's so good, and he gives us what we need to do what he's calling us to do. But we still have to trust him. We still have to step into that. Then Moses went back to his father-in-law Jethro, and he said to him, let me return to my own people in Egypt. I want to see if any of them are still alive. Jethro said, go. I hope everything goes well with you. The Lord said to Moses in Midian, go back to Egypt. All those who wanted to kill you are dead. This time he didn't even wait for Moses to ask the question. He just said, Everyone who is against you, they're dead. So Moses got his wife and sons. He put them on a donkey, and together they started back to Egypt. And he took the walking stick in his hand. It was the stick God would use in a powerful way. Can you imagine? I mean, my dad is a builder. He builds houses. Can you imagine a builder, a contractor, having these plans for this big, beautiful house? Amazing house. Like, think of all the things you would love to have in your house. Glass tile in the washrooms, gas-operated cooking stuff in the kitchen, a beautiful fridge with all the room you could ever need, beautiful plush carpets, beautiful hardwood floors, all these different things. And the contractor says to his laborer, "Hey, come here. I want to show you this. This is my plan. This is fantastic." And after showing the laborer the plans, he says to the laborer, "All right, I've got a job for you. Can you please move those 2x4s from that pallet over there?" And the laborer says, "Move the 2x4s? I can't build this house." The thing is, we do that. Moses did that. God wasn't asking Moses to save the people. He's not asking us to fulfill his plan. He is asking us to do the job that he has called us to, the job he's going to equip us for, the job he is already starting to work into motion. We just have to step into it. In all those verses, God said, "I will rescue my people. I will be the one who convinces Pharaoh to let those people go. I am the one who will cause the Egyptians to look on you with favor. I am the one. I am the one. I am the one. Now just go. Just go." Moses was a reluctant hero. He was just a person. Just a person that God called. He was a person filled with questions, born out of fear and excuses, born out of insecurity, but God still used him. And Moses still went. Even though he was afraid, even though he was insecure, even though he was hesitant, he still obeyed God. You may feel like God is calling you out. He is sending you in some way to someone. And maybe, like Moses, you are overwhelmed with questions and insecurities and fear. But go. Still go. My challenge to all of us today, me included, is to be people who respond with wide-eyed, joyful obedience, trusting God and his plan. We have limitations, but God does not. We mess up, but God is forgiving and gracious and perfect. And yes, we are scared, but God is with us. We may not see the big picture, but God has a plan, and it is the best plan. When God calls you to play a part in his plan, just do what he asks you to do. He isn't asking you to build the house. He's just asking you to move a couple 2x4s. He doesn't just want to use you part way. He doesn't want your goofy brother to take your place. He doesn't want to just use that old stick in your hand. He wants to use you to do amazing things for him, to be a part of an amazing plan. I'm going to invite you guys all to stand. We're just going to close in prayer. God, you are awesome. You are powerful. You know everything. You are eternal. You are immense. And you are good. God, I pray that you would open our hearts up. Tear down the walls that keep us locked in our fear and insecurity. Tear down the walls that hold us back from fully and joyfully stepping into everything that you have for us. God, help us to see you for who you are. So that when you ask us to jump into your plan, God, when you are gracious enough to allow us to be a part of your plan, God, that we would jump in, that we would answer, yes, God, yes. For those of us who are scared, for those of us who do take those hesitant steps, God, help us to trust you. Trust you even in those hesitations, even in those fears, God, that your plan is going to move forward. Help us to have hearts that are undivided. Help us to have ears that are tuned to your voice, no one else's. Not listening to friends, to naysayers, to people who would bring us down or hold us back. But ears that listen for your voice. And like Samuel, we say, yes, I'm here. I'm listening. Help us to realize that even if we've messed up many times, that your forgiveness is free and readily available. We just have to accept it. Help us to accept your grace. Help us to believe you. Believe in you, but believe the things we've witnessed. Believe the things we've read about in the Bible, that you are faithful. You are faithful to your word. You are faithful to your promise. You are faithful to your people. And that your plan is the best plan. And it will come to pass. And we can trust you when you call us to be a part of it. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.